Amen, amen. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the room. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for waking us up in the land of the living. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, for his mercies fail not. Lord, we continually, Lord, help us to be in your presence all the days of our lives. Father, we rededicate ourselves this morning into your holy hands. Lord, we present this room into your hands. Lord, that you would download upon us, Lord, the word that you have for us today, our daily bread, Lord. Ask us, O Lord, we ask, O Lord, that you will feed us, Lord, to the brim today, that we'll enjoy and dine at your table. Well, Lord, we present, Lord, the man of God, even my husband, Pastor Yato, into your hands, Lord, that you will download upon him your desire, even what you want us to eat today. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because we'll be full and be rejoicing, even going into the house of the Lord, prepared, energized, and ready to worship, Lord, in truth and in spirit. We thank you and bless your holy name, Lord, this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you will quicken the pace of us brethren that are still coming, Lord, that they'll be able to come in here and worship with us. In the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, I have prayed. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And good morning again, everyone. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. To show forth his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness every night. So as we come in the presence of the Lord this morning, let's show forth his loving kindness. And when we come back in the evening, you know, you come back, you show forth his faithfulness for having kept you throughout the day. Glory to God. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, O Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works. I'm reading Psalm 92, by the way. And thy thoughts are very deep. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, Lord, we worship and praise your name again this morning. Thank you for an opportunity to hear your thoughts regarding us. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Well, let's get to it. I'll share some scriptures with us. A couple of stories. Won't be long at all this morning. I certainly hope not. This is actually our first Sunday room this year on this platform, because we didn't do one on New Year's Day on account of a very late night that we had the night before for crossover service. So, you know, in a way, welcome again to 2023. Hallelujah. The thoughts towards the Lord, the thoughts of the Lord towards us for this year are good. Now, the state of things for God's children this year are also good. And not so good for those that plot evil against the children of God. God has a plan to turn the tables in our favor. God has that plan. He's done it multiple times. And we just want to remind ourselves. And also, I want to let us know that this year, you will be faced with situations that would need for the Lord to turn those tables. It's going to happen. There will be situations, but the Lord, the Bible says that the you know, the Lord, His ways, His way is in the whirlwind, you know. It's kind of like nobody really knows what the Lord is going to do, you know, but He has a way that He can do things that we don't understand. In the book of Nahum chapter 1, He says, God is jealous. Verse 2, the Lord revengeth, the Lord revengeth, and is furious. The Lord would take vengeance on His adversaries, reserveth wrath for His enemies. Well, God's adversaries are really the adversaries of His people. You know, because the Lord said, you know, I will bless they that bless you, and I will be against those that are against you. So, the Lord is slow to anger, Nahum 1 verse 3, and great in power, and He would not at all acquit the wicked. The way the Lord has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. He will rebuild the sea, can make it dry, dry up all the rivers, and so forth. So the Lord has a way that He will come up against your adversaries and turn the tables in your favor. And we want to just speak for a few minutes about that, encourage our hearts in the Lord, and hopefully the Lord will bless us through this word. Thank You once again, Lord, for the entrance of Your word. Gives light, and it brings light, and it gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be at this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to talk about a few things first, before we really get into a couple of stories. You know, God, He watches over His people. And the scripture says, and there's a story here in the book of Numbers, right? There's a story that the seer Balaam, Numbers 23, Balak was trying to get him to put a curse on the children of Israel. But here is what he says in Numbers 23 and 23. I'm sure you know the story. You know, but it says, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what hath God wrought for them? So this year, I'm making this declaration over this room that no enchantment, neither any divination, prosper against you, but people will say, wow, what had God wrought for you? Hallelujah. Now, it doesn't mean that they won't try the enchantments or the divinations. There's always peeping and muttering spirits. They are going to try to do their thing. The role of the devil, and he does it fairly well, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You know? But the Lord says, oh, I have come that they might have life, and that more abundantly. So it isn't that they won't try. The devils, you know, they will try, but they just won't prosper. They will not succeed. Why? Because God frustrates their tokens. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 54, you know, verses 15 and so on says, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. In 2023, we're going to see more of that. You know, the psalmist, he has a beautiful way of putting it. And he said, look, they all gathered together when they did to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Hallelujah. I love that Psalm 27, the way he puts it. The Lord is my light. Glory to God. Is the Lord your light and your salvation? This is his testimony. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In other words, if the Lord is the strength of your life, there's no need to be afraid of anyone. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Well, when the enemies, the adversaries, your adversaries, in the spirit, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, come up against you this year, eat up your flesh, come up against you to bring evil, and so on, they will stumble and fall. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. Hallelujah. Now this man, his heart is set. He's not afraid of anything that anybody is going to do, because he knows that the Lord is his light. And he knows that the Lord is his salvation. And from time to time, we see when people have plotted evil against the people of God, how God turned their tables around. The psalmist, again, he put it this way. And this is where our lesson comes from today. He said, thou preparest a table before me. Psalm 23 and verse 5. In the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now, what does it mean for the Lord to prepare a table before us in the presence of mine enemies? You know, I've given this kind of encouragement in the past, but I also like to use it to encourage us from time to time. When we're talking enemies here, don't focus on human beings. Well, human beings are there too, but, you know, the adversaries of God's people, they even sit in high places. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And they walk through people, but it starts in high places. It starts in the council of devils, demonic activity, and satanic altars. That's where it starts. But they shall not prosper against you. The Lord says, and this man, he's confident. He said, the Lord will prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Well, you know, let's look at that a couple different ways. First thing is, it is the Lord that prepared the table. That's number one. Number two, the blessing, whatever is on that table that the Lord prepared, he didn't do it in secret. He did it openly. You know, so that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth in the camp of your enemies. That's right. Glory to God. You know, so the Lord has a way of doing that. And again, I repeat, I'm not focusing on any human being. People are always prone to say, this person is doing this, that person is doing that. Yes, we do have enemies in the flesh, but they are being instigated by demonic activities in the spirit. You know, and you find out that even sometimes Satan will get into a close person, a person close by, to try to frustrate the plan of God in your life. We saw that in the encounter between Jesus and Peter. Jesus had asked the question, who do men say that I am? Everybody answered this way and that way. What about you guys? Who do you say you are? Well, Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so we see that Jesus acknowledged that That was a powerful response, and you could not have gotten it from the flesh. The Father revealed it to you. But a few moments later, this same Peter turns around when Jesus starts to tell them, you know, the things that's going to befall him, how he must go to Jerusalem, suffer and be killed and rise again the third day and so forth. And Peter turns around and says, no, be far from you, Lord, that this you should go and die. But, you know, at that moment, Peter, not knowing it, that the enemy had gotten upon him to try to dissuade Christ from his purpose. But Jesus discerned that. And immediately the Lord rebuked not only Peter, but Satan that was speaking through him. So the adversaries can come through anybody. Hey, you know, can try to dissuade you from the purpose of God. In 2023, you know, what is the purpose of God for your life? And the enemies that will have a counsel. You say, why do the hidden rage? You know, why do they take up a plot? Have they imagined vain things? Take up a plot against the people of God, against the Lord and his anointed. Well, because they are envious of the glory of God. It's going to be upon you this year. And it's already there. It's just coming into fuller a view. Now, there are a couple of stories that we want to tell quickly. Not that we don't know these stories, but we may bring out one or two things. But before I do, let me explain to us again these two words, because they are very powerful, and I've talked about them before from time to time. Destiny is a word that's very powerful. Providence is a word that's very powerful. Now, destiny is something, you know, that is determined to come to pass. It is preordained, and it will come to pass. You know, Acts chapter 2 and verse 23 talks about the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's how Christ, even though he was delivered up, it wasn't because anybody took him without God's plan. It was all in God's plan. And that was his destiny. And the devil or Peter or anybody else was not going to stop him from getting there. So that's destiny. That's your destiny, and your path through that destiny along the way is coded in your fingerprints. You heard it. It's coded in your fingerprints. That's why the devil and anybody that submit themselves to that, they are foolish. You know, people submit their palms to palm readers and so forth. Because inside that, those fingerprints, the plan of God is coded. The devil knows it. That's why you have all these palm readers. But they can't figure it out. Now, if you go submit yourself to that, then, of course, they got you eating out of their hands now. So here's the way that Jesus put it, still talking about your destiny and how it's encoded. This is the way that Jesus put it when he was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, and you cannot tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. No devil can divine your destiny. But if you go submit yourself to palm readers, they try to figure out your finger. They can't do it either, too. But they might, you know, conjure something up, twist something up, get you all confused. The children of God should never submit to seances and things like that. Get away from those things. The Holy Spirit is the candle inside your spirit to guide you through life. But your destiny is coded in that fingerprint. And no two set of fingerprints are the same for any two persons upon the earth. Just imagine the number of people that are in this earth and those who have been and those who are yet to come, the people that are yet to be created, the Bible says, shall still praise the Lord. All of that, compute that in so many different ways, how you can come up with something that is unique. Only the mind of the Holy Spirit can do that. That's right. So it's coded in there. That's your destiny. Now, providence, which I've also explained in the past, on the other hand, which sometimes we refer to as divine providence. You call it divine providence or you call it providence. It's the continuous act of God to protect, to guard, to make provision for, and to ensure, you know, that what God has preordained for you or for his eternal plans will come to pass. In other words, providence will watch over your destiny. Now, there's destiny for, you know, little things, individual things, and so forth. But there's also preordained destiny, which is, you know, a more far-reaching goal. You know, the greater destiny that we have is revealed in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and Romans chapter 8, and verse 29. That's the greatest destiny that we have. What God had in mind at the beginning, you know, to produce sons of God in the image of the Christ. And Romans 8:29 comes out and tells us that God predetermined that as our destiny, that we will be conformed to the image of the Christ. And we will be speaking more about that this year, both on the platform and during our local services here on the ground. I'm speaking more about that. You know, today we're considering this topic, that God has a way of watching over your destiny, and it's called providence. And because of that providence, when something is encroaching upon that destiny, what do I call would be, now that's would be destiny killers, God has a way to turn that around and make them become destiny helpers. Now, whether they want to be or not want to be, that's besides the point. You know, so of course we know they don't want to be, you know, but God will make it happen nonetheless, because God is protecting your destiny. And along the way, God can even sweeten the pot by setting a table in the presence of those enemies that meant you evil and causing them to serve you on that table. That's what I'm going to talk about for a little bit this morning. Praise God. Remember that the enemy is walking around the clock, you know, trying to steal, you know, your joy, kill your dreams, destroy your life, and everything like that. That's what he comes to do, you know. But Jesus came to give us life and abundantly. His ways and his thoughts are way above ours. His ways in the whirlwind, as we read in Nahum. And even the clouds, everything has his steps. He's got a way that he can bring things to pass that even the devil doesn't know anything about. Now, the way that what makes God able to do that is because God has perfect foreknowledge of all things, from the beginning to the end. So things that are yet to be, which the enemy is going to cook up, will try to frustrate your life, God will in turn frustrate their tokens. So God is the one that frustrates tokens of the enemies. I've spoken about this before. It's like a game of chess, master's game. Those that are very skilled in this thing, they know how to compute the many moves ahead, what their opponent might make, you know, and the really great chess players, they can look at that chessboard, figure out way in advance multiple steps that the opponent might take, make one move, and put the opponent in a, what we call a checkmate situation. Well, you can't do anything. Any other move you make after that puts you in a check situation and you're finished. Well, if you consider that in terms of God versus the devil, because this world is all about that now. Since there was pride found in the heart of Lucifer, it's been God versus the devil, good versus evil. It's also been the tree of life versus the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Side by side, the mystery of godliness versus the mystery of iniquity. Light versus darkness. Life versus death. I mean, all down through the ages. You know, so this thing is there. And God knows it. And what the Lord, you know, proposed, the goodness of God that he proposed, the enemy always tries to foul it up. But God has perfect foreknowledge of all things. The devil has to wait for you or the Lord to make a move, and then he'll try to foul it up. Because he can't divine your life. But God, on the other hand, does not have to wait for the devil to make any move. He already knows, glory to God, every move that the devil is ever going to make. And he can checkmate the devil right out of the box. Glory to God. Praise God. And he already put that devil out of the heavens. And he's going down to hell. And that's where he's going. Hallelujah. You know, so his place is found no more in the heavens. It's now just a bluffer. It's all he does. Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. Did you know how fast lightning moves? 186,000 miles per second. It's the speed of light. That's how fast the devil gets away from the true power of God. Glory to God. You know, he put him to flight. Hallelujah. Now, every move that the devil is going to make against your life, they're called tokens of liars. Why are they liars? Well, because the devil in John 8:44 is what does the Bible say he is? Well, you know, let's read it together. The devil is a liar and the father of it, according to John 8:44. So there is no truth inside of him, he says. So there's no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, speaketh it of his own. For he is a liar and the father of this. This is Jesus characterizing the devil. And that means no truth in him means the devil cannot tell the truth. He may speak facts, but he can't speak the truth. Because the truth would actually set you free. So the devil won't never speak the truth. So, but the Lord, he knows every step that he's going to make. All the tokens of liars, God has a plan to frustrate them. Let's read a few ways how God frustrates those tokens of liars. Well, first of all, the Lord said he would do that. So we know that. We have the assurance that he would do that. And then we'll read a few ways of how he does it. And then we'll read a couple of stories of how he did it in some instance, you know, to give us the understanding and assurance that, yes, you know, the Lord's got our back. And the devil is always cooking, planning something. But the Lord is way ahead of him. Hallelujah. The Lord is way ahead of the devil. And we never you know, we never need to worry about, you know, what the Lord, I mean, what the devil is trying to do. Isaiah 44 verses 24 through 26. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things. I didn't need any help then, and I don't need any help now. That stretched forth the heavens alone, and spreaded out the, you know, abroad the earth by myself. That frustrated the tokens of liars, you know, and make a diviners mad. You know, they try to divine your life. They can't figure it out unless you submit to it. And turneth wise men backward, and make their knowledge foolish. You know, they can't read the fingerprint that's in your palms. No, they can't do it. They cannot figure it out. God's coded it in there. You know, but the people, the foolish people of the world that seek after those things, they think that the devil can do that. But only God can decode that fingerprint. Can't do it. Now, I am the Lord also that confirmeth the word of his servant, performeth the counsel of my messengers. Glory to God. So, how does the Lord do these things? How does he do it? Well, how does he frustrate the tokens of liars? Here is another, and I think I've taught a room about what those tokens of liars are. But here's another scripture on how God does that. He looks at the wicked and all their plans, and he disappoints all their devices, according to Job chapter 5 and verse 12. The Lord disappointed the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. When they put those crafty things together, those tokens, you know, and trust me, those of us that grew up in the dark places in Africa, I know a lot about those things that people put together, you know. But the Lord also taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And the counsel of the forward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime. They grope in the noonday as the night. The Lord blinds their eyes. They can't even see what they're doing, because the Lord confused them. The Lord sends ambushments against your enemies. You know, when they, you know, when they try to come up against you, eat up your flesh. Glory to God. You know, that's the way that the Lord does these things. But the best of this story, I will keep to the last, of how God actually sets the table in presence of your enemies and make them to serve you on that table. But let's look at a few stories here in the Bible of how God frustrates the plans of the enemies. Now, it isn't because you don't know these stories, but just because, you know, I want to remind you that these are the things that God will do on your behalf in this year. The enemy will surely gather against you this year. Oh, yeah. You got great promises. You got great things that the Lord has put out there for you this year. And devil, if he has anything to say about it, he's going to try to make sure it doesn't come to pass. And you must contend honestly for the promises of God. But here's one way for you to assure yourself that you are on the winning side. God's already fixed this thing. It's like the fight is rigged in your favor. You know, God's already fixed it. You're already coming out on the other side. That's what he said. Let's go over to the other side. So he already fixed it. No matter what the enemy will do along the way, whatever tempest he will raise, whatever will happen, you are going to the other side. Glory to God. Are you a winner? Yes, you are. When there were three great companies that came up against Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles and 20, which we all know this story, there was no way even one of the armies alone, you know, outsized Judah already, you know, so, but let alone three of them. Well, they come up definitely. We got the children of Ammon, we got the children of Moab, we got Mount Seir. All three of them come up against Jehoshaphat and the children of the Lord. They were a great company that would cause their hearts to be to sink, because they know we have no might, they said, against this great company. But they will turn their eyes to the Lord, and the Lord will give them a word. And when Lord gave them a word, Jehoshaphat will command worship, you know, while they wait for that word. He said, tomorrow you go out now to meet them in such and such a place. But today you spend the time in worship. Glory to God. So when Jehoshaphat are consulted among the people, you know the story, I'm just paraphrasing it. He put the best of the people that knew how to praise the Lord. He rearranged, you know, the battle, you know, the army that was going to go for the battle. Put all the people that knew how to praise the beauty of holiness in front of the skilled men of war. Put the skilled men of praises and worship ahead of the war. And of course, the Lord turned an ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. So Ammon and Moab, they gathered together, destroyed Mount Seir. And when they had finished utterly destroying them, then they turned around and began to destroy one another. And so the Lord, that's one way that he frustrates that token suppliers. The Lord sent confusements, ambushments, confusion in the camp of their enemy. They didn't know who their enemy was anymore. Blinded their eyes. Moab and Ammon thought that Mount Seir was their enemy. They forgot why they were there. You know, they were there to, you know, kill and destroy Israel and the children of God, you know, the armies of Judah and so forth. But the Lord turned it aside. They actually destroyed each other. And that's an interesting story, which you know, so we'll leave it at that. There is a yet another interesting story, and many in this Bible, but I won't go through all of them for time today. Just a couple more that I'll bring out. Now, all of us know, and this is the best of these stories, actually, when it comes to, you know, God protecting your destiny and God turning would-be destiny killers into, you know, destiny helpers. The story, of course, that we are thinking about here is the story of Joseph. I mean, many chapters in Genesis 37 and then Genesis 42 through 46, all of those things discuss this story. And you know the story. So we're not going to read the story, but a few highlights that we will bring out. Now, despite the fact that the enemies of Joseph, I mean, hated him so much inside of his own family because of he running off his mouth on all these dreams and so forth. He should have kept his mouth shut. And also because of his father preferring him above the others. We've talked about this before. You know, that's not a good thing. That creates problems in the family. When a parent prefers one child above the other and makes that openly known. His father got him a rainbow coat, decorated with many colors and things like that, which he didn't get to any of the others because, you know, he was a child of his childhood sweetheart. And he loved Joseph above everybody else. That created problems too. But nonetheless, the thing that created problems the more were all the dreams that Joseph told his brothers. And it looked as if, well, he was going to be above all of them and so on. So they hated him. And they hated him even more when his father made him the coat. And so one day they had an opportunity to get rid of him. You know, and so they did. They planned how to get rid of him. But the, you know, along the way, God was always turning their plans of evil around. You know, so everything that is would be destiny killers planned, God turned it around. When his father sent them to go and check on his brothers, they say, well, here comes the dreamer of dreams. So, you know, here's what we're going to do. Let's kill him. Well, the first destiny helper that God raised out of his own family was Reuben. So Reuben, he heard of, he said, wow, come on now. Let's not kill him. Let's just throw him over here, put him in the pit, you know, and so forth. He planned to come back there and get him out of there when they were not aware of it. So they put him in the pit. Well, in the meantime, they saw these Midianites are coming by and said, well, and so, you know, they said, well, why waste him here? You know, why don't we sell him to these folks? And you know the story, on and on and on and on. You know, so they sold him also to the Ishmaelites. And they went, he got sent to Egypt. And you know the story. And everything else that happened. Well, I'm not going to go into the stories of what happened to him in Egypt. Judah was the second destiny helper among his brethren. I said, well, why should we conceal his blood? Let's sell him to these Ishmaelites and so on. But all the plans of the wicked among his brethren, which they even went and told his father that he was killed and caused that old man to go in grief for many years, thinking his beloved son was dead. The wickedness of the heart of those people. Well, God turned it around, as you know the story. And eventually, you know, their wicked plans were what actually pushed Joseph to Egypt, where God had sent him ahead to preserve posterity, according to Joseph's own testimony at the end. And one thing led to another, one thing led to another. All the plans of the devil against him kept pushing him towards that destiny that God had for him. Even the thoughts of Potiphar's wife to frame him for something he did not do. And all of that sent him to prison and so on and so forth. And eventually, through his time in prison, he would get an opportunity, although delayed, to stand before Pharaoh. And immediately the Lord began to bring, after many years, once he stood before Pharaoh, God began to bring to pass the word that he had already shown him in the dream. And frustrated all the plans of his enemies in his own household. And at the end of the day, they did all bow to him, just like the dream had said. Well, the best of these stories, which is the last one I want to share today, is the story in the book of Esther, chapters 3-8. In the book of Esther, chapters 3-8, the story of Mordecai versus Haman. So, as the story went, which again you also know, and this is the one where I want to talk about, you know, God making your enemies to serve you on that table. Now, I've talked about how God frustrated the plans of the enemies. I've talked about how the, you know, God frustrated the enchantments and divinations against his people. But now I'm going to talk about how God will make your enemies serve you up on the very tables. You know, so, as the story went, which we all know, but just in case anybody doesn't know it, you know, when Haman was promoted, you know, he wanted everybody to do him obeisance, which Mordecai, who was Esther's uncle, wouldn't do because he was a Jew. And the Jews wouldn't worship anybody else other than God. So he got furious, planned all kinds of things. You know, they even instructed him, some of his friends and his wife, of how to get rid of not only Mordecai, but all the Jews. On and on and on and on. You know the story. But here is how God began to turn the tables. Glory to God. There was one day that the angel of the Lord troubled that king. And he couldn't sleep. You say the angel of the Lord troubled him? Well, yeah. Because when God wants to bring to pass his word, this is how the scripture used to put it, that it might be fulfilled, which God wants to do, and he begins to put some things into motion. Well, that God might deliver Mordecai, Esther, and the Jews out of the hand of this Haman, who had plotted, even got in commandments from the king of how to destroy all the Jews. I mean, this is, people are always trying to destroy the Jews. Hitler was not the first. You know, and, you know, all through the ages, they've always been trying to destroy them. Herod, Pharaoh, everybody. You know, and this Haman was trying to do the same thing. Haman or Haman, I don't know how you pronounce it. Anyway, on that night, could not the king sleep. So, because the Lord took his sleep away from him. So he said, look, he commanded his chamberlains and everybody around him, bring me some reading material. And the Lord began to lead him. He didn't know it was the Lord leading him, but that's how the Lord works. The Lord began to lead him to read some of the journals and chronicles of the various things of the kings and so forth. And then as he was reading, the Lord directed him to the place. I mean, he found the place where Mordecai, you know, had saved the king on two occasions when people plotted to assassinate him. And through the information that the king gave, I mean, Mordecai sent, he warned the king of that, and the king escaped. And they dealt with those would-be assassins at the time, but nothing was really done to reward Mordecai. So the king found where Mordecai had told Bigthana of Teresh and Teresh, the two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the doors, who sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. That's Esther chapter 6, verse 2. So the king said, wow, was there anything done for Mordecai for this? The king's servant said, no, nothing was done for him. And so he's thinking in his heart, well, it's time to reward this guy. So the king says, well, who is in the court? And at that very time, you know, this is how God, the amazing God, this is how God does his things. Divine appointments. Setting up Haman for something that he didn't even know. Haman came at that point. At that very point, he was in the king's court to ask for permission to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. That was why he came there. And at very, very time, when the king said, who's there in the court? They said, oh, it's Mordecai. I mean, it's Haman. And they say, you know, let him come in. So the Lord, and then the, you know, king already liked this Haman. He had already promoted him and everything. So he's thinking that, well, let me ask of him, you know, what he thinks. So he says to Haman, now, what shall the king do to the person that the king delights to honor? Now, of course, Haman thinking within himself that, it's gotta be me. Who else would it be? I mean, I've already been promoted. I already got honor and so on. So Haman begins to serve up all the things that the king should do. He didn't just say one thing because he thought it was for him. So he went on and on and on and on. You know, he said, look, the royal apparel that the king used to wear, that the king give it to this man. The horse that the king used to ride. Are you kidding me? Let the king give it to this man. The crown royal that is on his head. I mean, are you kidding? Let the king give it to this man. I mean, he got all the things. He just went on and on and on because he thought it was for himself. And when he finished it, the king didn't argue anything. Just let him say everything that he said. Let him put him on horseback. Let him proclaim him throughout the city. Let everybody bow down to him. Well, Haman was always wanting that kind of honor anyway. So he thought, well, you know, today is my day that I'm going to get this honor. And I'm actually going to get my victory over this Mordecai once and for all. because this Mordecai would not worship me and would not bow down to me. Now, when I'm promoted to be over all the kingdom and everybody has to bow down to me, I'm gonna get this Mordecai once and for all. And the king said, yeah, you know, I like it. All the plan, everything that you said, I like it. Now, you go and make sure you diminish nothing from what you have said and do everything that you have said to Mordecai. Glory, oh God. You talk about God preparing a table for you in the presence of your enemies and making your enemies serve you on that table. Glory to God. This is the best story that I can come up with in that Bible. And Mordecai, you know, I mean, Haman was the one that served up Mordecai's promotion. He came in to ask for permission to kill him, kill everybody. But, you know, God turned it around, turned the tables, you know, around, and Mordecai prepared, a feast of good things. Haman prepared a feast of good things. You know, all the things, you know, great honor, chariot of the king, crown of the king, you know, royal garment, king's signet, and everything that, you know, put it up on this man, because it's also for himself. King said, yep, it's exactly what you are going to do unto Mordecai, and make sure nothing fails. Hallelujah. And listen to this. I love this part. You know, this is one of our punchlines for this morning. So this is Esther chapter 6 and verse 13. You know, so Haman went and told Zeresh, his wife, and his friends everything that had befallen him. And listen to what they said. You know, his wise men and his wife, they were the ones that were urging him on before of how to build gallows, how to get permission to kill Mordecai and not to stop there and kill everybody else of Mordecai's tribe. They finally came to him and said this, and take this word today. Hallelujah. In this room, if Mordecai be of the feet of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him. Glory to God. But thou shalt surely fall before him. Hallelujah. Praise Shato Barika Sunday. Karonda Reba Seri Labahurika Shetere Labahu Shetarabakaya. If you be a child of God, glory to God, every plan of the enemy against you shall not prevail, but it shall surely fall before you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to pray right now. I feel the moving of the Holy Spirit in my heart. If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but you shall surely fall before him. Even his own wise men, they told him that. His own wife, these were the people that were urging him on before to do the great evil. They told him, this man be one of these Jews. You are finished. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Resa kore ba shandela kusani. Riada balakusi. And ashkiri laboi. Hallelujah. Lord God Almighty, I lift up your people that are in this room right now before the Lord. In 2023, glory to God, if you be one of God's elect, then here's what is going to happen. Everyone that plans anything against you, they will not prevail. But on the contrary wise, God will even use them to serve you up a blessing. You say, can that, well, I don't want to tell you more stories. Let me leave it at that. But God's, it's going to come to pass in 2023. Hallelujah. The enemy that devises anything, he himself, you know, create the pit, he'll fall into it himself. The gallows that Haman prepared, ended up being hung on his own gallows. His own children, his own household, everything was, you know, everything that he had was destroyed because he had a mind to destroy the people of God. God turned it around. But it wasn't just that God destroyed Haman and his wicked plans. God made Haman to be the one to pronounce the blessings for Mordecai. Now, even if that isn't a twist of something called a twist of fate, but no, I call it God's way is in the whirlwind. And he, you know, the storms and everything are at his steps. And his ways are higher than our ways. And God will turn the tables. The psalmist said it best. He'll prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Glory to God. And your enemies will be the ones serving on that table. Now, God's not going to do it in secret. No. When he exalts you, it'll be openly. And he will make even your enemies. Glory to God. They will serve you up on that table. People that are colluded against you, could be on your job, it could be whatever, they will come down and bow down before you. God will promote you. It's not anything that you're going to do. You don't take matters into your hands. You just trust in the Lord and you'll be waiting on the Lord. That's all. You take matters into your hands, it's not going to work. You don't need to take any matters into your hands. You just need to call upon God, which is what Mordecai told his niece and said, look, you get in there and ask for favor and don't think that you will escape, you know, just because you are in the palace. But if you don't do anything, God will raise somebody else up that will do it. So she said, well, I'm going to do it. You guys go pray. But, you know, I'm going to go in. If I perish, I perish. But if the king extends me the golden scepter, and those of you who are, you know, part of our local church, you heard me preach that. You know, the scepter, and I think I've even taught it in this room. The king, he can make a law just for you. Hallelujah. Just for you. And when the king reaches and then, you know, points that golden scepter towards you like that, anything you want, glory to God. As Esther, anything you want, even to the half of the kingdom. My goodness. And he pointed that golden scepter towards her. And my God Almighty, the Lord gave her, you know, through the king, favor. She could ask for anything she wanted. And she did too. And she got it. Now, the king had previously signed something, but he signed yet another one, reversing everything. I just can't get over this story anytime I read it because of how the Lord walks in the whirlwind and how the storm and everything is at his steps, how his ways are way above our ways and his thoughts are way above our thoughts. And how he has a million different ways to frustrate the talking of the liars. Glory to God. And to bring you to your destiny. God's provision in 2023 will protect. He will guard. And he will lead you. And he will make continuous provision to bring you to the place of your blessing for this year. He will do it too. Glory to God. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that listened to this. May we be energized to believe God. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? And if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, they told him, you're finished because you have begun to fall and you will fall before him. You will not prevail against him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And if you be of the seed elect, of the royal seed, on how all the plans of the enemy against you this year will not prevail, but it will surely fall before you. Because already the devil has begun to fall, and he will surely fall flat. Glory to God. Just like they brought Dagon into the house of the Lord before the ark, and Dagon fell flat on his face. I picked him up again, set him up in his place, and he fell flat again and broken at that stone. Glory to God. That's how the Lord is going to make all plans of the enemy against you fall flat before you this year. And not only that, the worst of your enemies will serve up their blessing. Glory to God. Now, don't forget, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Don't try to take anything into your hands. It's all in God's hands. You just worship. Your role is to worship. When God tells you of the victory that's coming tomorrow, he puts it out there for tomorrow, not today, so that today you can worship. That's what Jehoshaphat did. So as you look ahead for 2023, you just worship the Lord for his goodness and for his mercy. Because he has broken the gates of brass for you. Cut asunder the bars of iron that hold you back. And every pit that the enemy tries to dig for you, he himself will fall into it. For in vain is any snare set in plain view of a bird. If the bird is looking at you when you're setting the snare, it's in vain, because he sees it. And the eye of the eagle, glory to God, he sees every snare that the enemy is planning against you. And it's in vain. The Lord frustrate every token of the enemy. It shall not prosper against you in 2023. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, that is our lesson for today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, it is your turn to give your reactions. Hallelujah. Once again, we thank you for joining us this morning. And I pray and trust that these familiar words have been a blessing to you today. They're familiar because you heard the same stories before. But it's an encouragement that we brought to you today. That because you are of the children, of the seed, the royal seed, the devil's plans cannot prevail against you. And it's already begun to fall, and it will surely fall before you, in Jesus' name.